Snapchat. The company will seek to raise as much as $4 billion in its planned IPO. This is according to people familiar with the matter. This IPO could value Snapchat at about $25 billion to $35 billion. No final decision has been made yet, and the size of the IPO, as always, could change.
At this point, what do you think that the earnings season, how might it be playing into the Fed's future moves?
If we don't start coming out of this malaise with regard to corporate earnings and sales, then we run the risk of the economy starting to roll over into a recession. And is the Fed willing to continue on the path of increasing short-term interest rates, staring into the face of a possible recession in 2017?
Now, WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is Thursday, October 27th, 2016, 5:09. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day. Congratulations, Chicago Cubs. Go Cubbies. The only numbers that really matter if you have Cubs in your DNA this morning are the numbers on that scoreboard. Cubs even up the World Series at one game apiece and bring it back to Chicago. Can't wait to see a World Series at Wrigley Field. A big, 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 big weekend coming up. First, let's focus on a little bit of the economy and business, if we can, if you're not too sleepy this morning. A lot of us have been staying up very late watching the Cubs. A lot of sleepy eyes around here on the Opening Bell this morning, but we'll try to muddle through it this morning because there is some important news. First, to the WGN market desk, the Associated Bank market desk this morning. Here's what the numbers look like and what we might expect for the day ahead. First of all, Dow futures are pointing lower right now, off just 7 points. The S&P and NASDAQ futures are off just a little bit as well. Around the globe this morning, markets are generally lower. In Europe, the FTSE, the DAX, the CAC, all of them are lower this morning. The Asian Dow, the Nikkei, the Hang Seng, everything is lower this morning. What's happening? It's earnings season. There's still concern about the economies of the world. There's Brexit mixed in there as well. And earnings season here in this country, the biggest thing that people are watching, lots of earnings out yesterday. We saw Boeing report earnings. Yesterday afternoon, we watched the Microsoft presentation of their new product. So lots of stuff pushing the markets today. One of the big stories, however, today is a Canadian delegation says it is not going to be heading off to Europe to sign a landmark free trade deal with the European Union after Belgium failed to make decisive headway to lift a crucial veto of one of its regions. A release from Canada's international trade minister late last night confirms an embarrassing cancellation of that special summit. This is just one of many trade deals, trade stories that's in the news globally. You've heard of TPP. There's also all of this concern about Brexit and whether or not some of those trade deals will have to be undone as well. Coming up later today, we're going to see a couple of more major earnings reports. Aetna, Altria, Ford, Twitter, United Parcel Service will report earnings all before the market opens this morning. Alphabet and Amazon will report quarterly earnings after the bell. It is Thursday, and it's time for a thought leader discussion conversation. Associated Bank is our partner with this. They have some great minds there who've been joining us every Thursday to talk about issues. And this morning is the Senior Vice President of Associated Bank in charge of capital markets, foreign exchange, rate swaps, and commodity derivatives, Donald Lloyd, with us this morning here on the Opening Bell. Don, thanks for being with us this morning. Again, it's great having the Associated Bank with us and all of our thought leaders. These discussions are doing what we hope they did, it would do, and that is to make people think. And, you know, you're an early guy, early riser like I am, and we sort of rattle off a lot of these numbers every morning about foreign markets and foreign numbers. And maybe we could start by talking a little bit about what it is to be an early riser and why those numbers are so important. So welcome.
Well, Steve, thank you. It's good to be part of this group here. Been listening to you for decades. I won't say how many decades it's been, but it's been a long time. I don't want to reveal my age just yet, but excited that Associated Bank is partnering with WGN Radio and Opening Bell. So thank you.
We had you in recently early morning. It's nice to have another early riser in. you kind of saw how things go behind the scenes here.
That's one of the many things you and I have in common, is that we like to get up early. You're more of a four coffee, one donut kind of guy. I'm sort of a four donut, one coffee kind of guy. But we do get up early. And the markets are, especially the foreign exchange markets, they are a 24-hour market. So time sort of just goes out the window. As we go through the Asian time zone into the European time zone and then back around to the North American time zone. So never have been one to watch look at a clock very often.
Well, and so that's the transition that I want to make into that and give our listeners a sense of why it's important that we're focusing on that. Because here in the opening bell, we have the Associated Bank Market Desk now. We focus very heavily on all of those world markets. They impact what happens here in the United States moment by moment, don't they?
Sure. So let's just take a look at our customer base, typical customer base at Associated Bank. These are mostly clients, corporations, companies that are manufacturing. So they source their goods and services from overseas a lot of times. In fact, studies have shown that of companies coast to coast in the U.S., over 80% will do some sort of international business, whether they're sourcing goods and services from overseas or whether they're selling goods and services overseas. Foreign exchange, just like interest rates, just like oil and gas prices, there's a price risk that's associated with that. And that's where we get involved in it. So when you take a look at the foreign exchange markets, and they are on a 24-hour basis, the way they move around, there is risk that companies or CFOs of companies face 24 hours a day. They're asleep half the time anyway, or at home, not watching the markets, but that risk still exists. Of that 80% that deal foreign exchange or have foreign exchange exposure, 50% do absolutely no hedging whatsoever. They have this exposure that exists, but they do absolutely nothing about it. They either don't know, they either have prioritized it too low, but it's a risk that can be mitigated and it can be closed down if they just take the time to learn a little bit about what hedging is all about. And that's what my job is, and that was my team's job, is to basically take a look at interest rate, commodity derivatives, foreign exchange risks that companies face, educate them if needed, or give them the services and the product, if you will, to help mitigate and reduce those risks that they face.
One of the marching orders and missions of the Opening Bell program is to bring people into the conversation that don't have the kind of experience that you have and know what all of these words are and what they mean and what the financial markets are. So from that standpoint, I don't want to say dumb it down, but let's take it back down a little.
Sure.
What are the big ones when we go through the futures markets and the world markets? What are the big ones that we should be paying attention to and that investors should be listening for?
Sure. When it comes to, we'll just start with the three legs of the stool that we're involved in, the foreign exchange markets. There are 150, 200 different currencies in the world. The majors, if you will, are our major trading partners, whether that's Canada, the European zone, which is the euro, Japan, Mexican peso.
Donald Lloyd, Senior Vice President of Associated Bank here in Chicago, in charge of capital markets. We're talking about foreign exchange, rate swaps, derivatives. Our conversation will continue here on the Opening Bell. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, some stocks of local interest we're keeping our eye on today. After reporting earnings yesterday, Boeing stock is higher this morning, up almost 4.5%, $145 a share. Boeing yesterday reporting good earnings. Outlook for the future, decent as well. Some of the stocks in trouble this morning include Hyatt Hotels, off almost 1%, at 2.3% earlier this morning. McDonald's is lower as well. It's 5:21.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Stocks ended mixed Wednesday as investors studied the latest company earnings. The Dow rose 30 points to 18,199. The S&P 500 fell more than 3 points. The NASDAQ Composite slid 33. Oil prices are down for the third day in a row. Samsung is promising to climb out of its financial doldrums after being rocked by a crisis over its fiery smartphone. In financial filings made public last night, the company said its third-quarter profit was down 30% year-over-year, largely because of the Galaxy Note 7 discontinuation. Ford is recalling 400,000 vehicles worldwide to fix fuel leaks that could cause fires. The recall covers certain Ford Escapes and Mercury Mariners. The automaker is not aware of any accidents, fires, or injuries related to that problem. And Walmart plans to make holiday shopping a little easier. The retailer will staff its stores with associates who can direct customers to the quickest checkout station and even run to grab items shoppers may have forgotten so they don't lose their place in line. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program, 522. Our thought leader discussion this morning with Associated Bank Senior Vice President Donald Lloyd, who oversees capital markets, foreign exchange, rate swaps, commodity derivatives. He is, like me, one of those guys up early in the morning. Don, it's, again, good to have you on the program. We were talking a little bit before we went to traffic about your sort of routine in the morning, what you watch, what's important. And I'm curious, what are the first market indices that you look at every morning?
First thing I look at is I check where the spot prices are for those majors. Where's the euro? Where's the pound? Where's the Canadian dollar? What's been the range overnight? Because these exchange rates, just like stock prices, just like the price of gold, they fluctuate. And unlike most commodities that are out there, they're fluctuating quite violently over a 24-hour period. 2 a.m, 2 p.m, it makes no sense just because it's a globally traded type commodity or an exchange. Mm-hmm. So I look at those majors right away. I want to find what the ranges are throughout the day. I want to find out if there have been economic releases in those countries or what was talked about in upcoming economic releases. I want to find out what the drivers are of the market. That pretty much sets the stage for how this big pool of money that's known as this hot money, this investment money, sloshes around the world and will move like an amoeba from one country to another, looking for some return given some amount of risk. And as those parameters change, that money moves. That's the hot money. The manufacturing money is pretty consistent. You know, they're purchasing goods and services. They are selling goods and services overseas. That's all driven by their pricing model. You know, that's just a cost that's built into it. So you're talking to a lot of different people that have a lot of different end purposes when it comes to currency. On the interest rate side, interest rates are nothing more than the cost of money, whether you're a borrower or a lender. So we have to sit there and address those people. And what about the term structure of interest rates, the yield curve, if you will? And then when it comes to the commodity side, oil and natural gas, likewise, like the price of gold, like the price of stocks, there is market risk. These prices move all the time. What we try to do is be the eyes to the market for CFOs and companies that are out there making bicycles or making whatever they're making. They have this risk. They can't spend all of their time looking at that risk. Let us be the eyes to the market.
I try to tell people that as much as they don't want to admit that we are a global society, a global economy, when you say the amoeba, I love that amoeba idea, because I tell people, too, it's like an earthquake. When something bad happens there, you can almost watch the ripples come across the pond to here.
Correct.
How important is it to watch things like that, a political unrest, new breaking news from those countries? How much does that play into your project?
More so now than it was 30 years ago when I started in the market. We are a global market and continue to be globalized more and more every month that goes by. The thing that has really changed the most is the speed at which money can move and the size of the money that can be moved within milliseconds now. So the globe becomes much smaller. Those events that occur outside of our borders, they do have ripple effects, sometimes tsunamis, and you have to be very much aware of what's going on there, because they're going to impact the price of the bicycle you're making or the goods that you're bringing in or your sales of what you're selling overseas. So you do have to be sensitive to it on top of it, because if you get behind it, it's just a risk that you're not monitoring, that you're not paying attention to.
And on the risk, let's go back to the hedging.
Sure.
That's a frightening figure, 50%. How do you try to get people away from that and guide them to a safer location?
Sure. That's a great question, because that is one of the challenges that we have. The U.S. is very dollar-centric, and historically there's reasons for that. As we came out of World War II, the U.S. was pretty much the only game around globally. So we became the bank of the world. We lent money to the world, and everything was based in U.S. dollars. Fast forward to today, the U.S. is still very dollar-centric. We don't think in terms of exchange rates. We don't think in terms of, you know, what is a dollar versus a Canadian dollar, a dollar versus a euro dollar. If you're in Canada or if you're in Europe, you grew up with that. You know what exchange rates are. You know what exchange rate risk is. So therefore, in the U.S., you deal with companies that will price goods and services overseas in dollars, and they think they have no foreign exchange risk, when in fact they do. So it becomes an education process, and it, like any education process, it's not a 30-second line. It is something you have to sit down, think through, and then remember, and then where to apply it. Okay, so let's learn the concepts, let's learn the terminology, and then let's apply those concepts and terminology. And that's more than a 30-second conversation with a company. So when I interact with companies that this is the first time they've heard it, you do sort of want to talk in pretty simple terms and very simple levels when it comes to their exposure. And you sort of want to see their reactions where they say, yeah, that's the first time someone's explained that to me where I followed it. But you have to take them through it. And you know that as soon as you walk out, they're only going to remember half of it anyway. But it's not what they remember. What you want to leave them with is who told them, so that you become a resource for them, a reference book that sits on their shelf. And they can pick up the phone, they can call you, and they say, you know what, you talked about that hedging or you talked about that currency exposure. Explain that to me again. And that's exactly what we want.
Does that call generally come after they've gotten a note that says, oh, you just lost $50 billion?
You couldn't be more right. Yeah. Usually what happens is I have this exposure. It's in the British pound sterling, and I'm not doing anything about it because we don't have exposure. We're doing everything in dollars. So you have that conversation. Well, someone's handling that exchange rate someplace. All of a sudden, Brexit occurs. And usually what happens then is the CFO is getting called by the owner of the company or the CEO saying, we have these currency losses. What are we doing about it? And that's when our phone board lights up, is usually when there's bad news. And like a doctor, I can stop the bleeding, but I can't put the blood back into your body. So good thing that you sort of, you know, had this epiphany and you became aware that there is currency risk that's there. I can't do anything about the blood that's been spilled, but now let's do some education and stop the bleeding and let's get this risk in control.
There's a huge danger. We saw recently this DDoS attack. Mm-hmm. Cyber attacking has been in the news a lot lately. Yeah. And I've heard more than one person, expert, say the markets are extremely vulnerable to this, we could, in some words, be brought to our knees. Our economies could be brought to our knees with the right person getting in and doing the right thing. Yep. Is that a fair way to describe that? Or should we be that worried?
Now you're talking my conspiracy side of me. Yeah. Yes, I think wars now are economic wars.
Yeah.
And I think that is a legitimate concern. And I think that the people that have vested interests and responsibilities for closing that and monitoring that are there. And I think they're doing an incredible job doing it. But yeah, I think there are economic wars and economic ripples that are being caused out there for not good purposes. And yes, I they are out there.
Well, Don, if people are listening, it's comforting to know that they're in safe hands if they come to you. You've got a handle on this. We appreciate your insight and expertise, and thanks for joining our conversation this
morning. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
And Donald Deloitte, Senior Vice President, Associated Bank Foreign Exchange, Rate Swaps, Commodity Derivatives. He is the Manager of Capital Markets at Associated Bank. You can, by the way, follow along Associated Bank on Twitter. Their Twitter handle is at Associated Biz is where you want to go. And we will have more of our conversation with Don Lloyd after the bell. Online, you'll be able to find it soon at WGNradio.com, along with all of our other thought leader conversations.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. 541. Have you eaten at Chipotle lately? If you say no, you are not alone. Chipotle restaurant sales, existing restaurant sales stores, 22% lower than a year ago. That's when we learned about the E. coli outbreak that affected the company. People have been slow to return to their doors. And joining us this morning, CNN Money's Heather Long, who's been writing about this. Heather, welcome back to the opening bell this morning. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, great to be here, and congratulations to the Chicago Cubs and all the fans out there. I say that as a New Yorker. It was a great game last night.
Thank you. We're using all the finger crossing we can get.
Yeah.
Speaking of finger crossing, Chipotle, I think it's going to take a little bit more than that. They reported earnings this week 22% lower than a year ago, their in-store sales. A big problem for Chipotle. What's happening?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Obviously, a year ago, everybody learned about the really major E. coli outbreak. There had been other outbreaks leading up to that. And just then in early December, a lot of people probably remember when the whole Boston College basketball team got sick from the norovirus in a Boston Chipotle. So the problems kind of kept mounting and the customers went away. I know even in my own local Chipotle that I used to go to a lot, the lines, went from out the door at lunchtime to there were hardly anybody in there for a while. So it's kind of a mixed bag for Chipotle. Chipotle's trying to say, look, there was nobody in the stores in January. It's gotten a little bit better than that now, but Wall Street just isn't buying that it's ever going to get back to what it was. So that's kind of the big question mark on everybody's minds, whether you're a customer or whether you're an investor, is, is it going to get any better from here? It's got a little bit better, but is it really going to go back to full strength like it was? And yesterday, the stock got decimated down 9%, and which is a pretty killer signal that Wall Street's saying, I don't buy it.
And the Centers for Disease Control never really determined what caused the E. coli outbreak, but it still happened in 11 states. That's a huge outbreak. Has anything like this ever happened before at a retail food outlet like this that in your memory that has they've ever bounced back from? It seems like I don't remember anything in my memory.
No, and it's Chipotle such an unusual brand, too, because there was just such love, and particularly from millennials, for Chipotle heading into this. I mean, I don't know about you, but I had friends all the way from kids up to grandparents who loved to go to this restaurant and would really treat it like a restaurant, not just a fast food place. It was one of those brands that crossed gender lines, that crossed racial lines, and you'd see these funny photos of people on Instagram or Facebook. They would literally take photos with their Chipotle burrito and post them on social media. That's how much love there was for Chipotle. And so that's what you just don't see coming back anymore. I think the other key point is, like you mentioned, they never really figured out what went wrong entirely with the E. coli outbreak, but it wasn't just E. coli. The problems actually started in August when about 200 people got sick at a California store. That made a lot of local headlines, didn't make national ones. But then we sort of had this series. It wasn't just the one outbreak last November. It kept going, a series of different types of salmonella problem in Minnesota. And then that big problem in Boston that got the basketball team sick in December, and as well as 120 other people. So that's what just made it so hard for them to come back and made this very unusual.
And it's not just the sickness in the E. coli. Chipotle has had some other problems as well, things that really were avoidable issues. You have workers suing them for unpaid wages. You had this weird sex scandal. Those are some other things playing into this, too, or are they?
Yeah, a little bit. Again, a lot of people have been saying Chipotle's nightmare year. It's just the bad news seems to keep coming. People also may remember in the summer in July they had to explain away why their chief creative director was in part of a cocaine bust, and then they also bought. Like they were trying to be strategic, people, you forget. And that just before this E. coli outbreak last year, they were such a darling of Wall Street and Main Street. And they had been trying to expand, not just by adding more Chipotle restaurants in Europe and else and across the United States, but they also bought an Asian chain called Shop House. And this is a Thai food chain that they sort of saw as the next Chipotle. And now they admitted this week that they're basically abandoning it. They're not going to invest anymore, and they're kind of saying goodbye to that as well, sort of raising the white flag of defeat. So all around, just more bad news keeps coming.
And you can't really write a worse Cinderella story here because their stock started out at, correct me if I'm wrong here, what, $750 a share down to where it is now, which is nowhere near that.
Will they ever recover, I guess, is the question. And if they do, how is it going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's right, like you said, at their heyday, at their height, it was over $750 a share from the most of the period between August and October of 2015, so not that long ago, just a year ago, and now they're trading under $400, so it's just been down, down, down for Chipotle, and I keep seeing notes that certainly don't imply that it's ever going to bounce back. I got one in my box yesterday that said it would go below $300, and so at the moment, I'm not seeing anybody who's optimistic, with the exception of one person. Your listeners may be familiar with a famous hedge fund investor named Bill Ackman. And he usually takes stakes in companies that are way down that he thinks are going to be a big turnaround. And he did that with Chipotle in September and raised a lot of eyebrows. Now, Bill Ackman used to have the magic touch. He used to just make gobs of money, kind of unbelievable year after year. But he has had a terrible, terrible 2014 and even worse 2015 himself. So when he took a stake in Chipotle, people wondered, is this another bad Bill Ackman call?
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you, Heather, my Chipotle near my house is, as you described, yours is empty at lunchtime. But I have to tell you that people are coming back. I've actually gone back, and I'm giving it another chance, and I'm usually pretty picky about this kind of thing. So do you think it's in the hearts of customers to do this?
Well, I have to say, I've seen a little bit of that, too. There's two things. Number one, did you go back because of a freebie or a coupon? They've been heavily discounting to try to get people back in the door, something they never had to do before. They give a lot of freebie burritos or double burrito days, or and then they even started a loyalty program at the store. But the problem is that eats into the bottom line. That's kind of what scares Wall Street. Okay, they've gotten some people back, but now people are used to those discounts. So are they ever going to be able to charge more? So that's kind of one of the questions on a lot of people's minds. And but you're right. You must be young at heart, because you can still see some millennials in particular going back.
And you know what? The burritos are delicious. I have to tell you. I mean, just that's why I keep going back. I love their burritos. So.
So the other thing people talked about is chorizo. So that's their new menu item. They've also been trying to lure people back with new and different and exciting options. And they said on the call, it stood out to me that it's now 7% of sales. So this is an item that wasn't even on the menu several months ago. And now it's already pretty darn popular. So we'll see.
Heather Long,
next time.
Senior money market, stock market economy writer at CNN Money. You can follow her at Buy Heather Long. Heather, thanks for being with us this morning.
Yeah, take care.
All right. And by the way, you can read more of Heather's stories online. We're going to post her latest on the Chipotle story. By the way, Chipotle is trading lower this morning, $368 a share, again, from $750 back in its heyday.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures have turned positive now, up 28 points. The NASDAQ and S&P futures higher as well. Latest on commodities and agriculture now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. A little reversal in the livestock trade at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday. The lean hog futures finished weaker for the first time in four sessions, thanks to profit-taking and some uneasiness about cash and wholesale pork prices as October pork month winds down. So at the end of the day yesterday, the December lean hog contract was down 42 cents. On the other hand, cattle moved higher, some short covering and anticipation of perhaps higher cash cattle prices at the end of the week. So the October live cattle contract gained 32 cents, and October feeder cattle did the same, up 32 cents a hundredweight for the day. Strong day in the grain market at the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, particularly in soybeans. Soybeans up more than 1%. Helped by fund buying and expectations for increased export demand as harvest is nearing completion. We will get a report on weekly grain and soy export data a little bit later today. But yesterday, November soybeans gained 18¾ cents a bushel, and the December corn contract up 3¼. December wheat traded 7 cents higher in yesterday's trade. Rain showers across the Midwest will put a stop to harvest for a day or two, give farmers a chance to catch up, and give country elevators a chance to move product. I'll see you Sunday at the Sycamore Pumpkin Festival Parade. Look forward to it. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a good day as well. Now the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Thursday, October 27th. Two major government economic reports due out today. Labor Department reports on the number of people who applied for unemployment benefits. Also, Commerce Department releases the durable goods figures for September. National Association of Realtors release the pending home sales index for September. Freddie Mac has the latest on weekly mortgage rates. All of those could drive the markets as we move through the morning. Number of major companies reporting quarterly earnings today, including Aetna, Altria, Ford, Twitter, United Postal Service, all before the bell opens or rings this morning. Alphabet and Amazon will report after the closing bell. And speaking of earnings, just a couple of final notes, important notes. We mentioned at the beginning of the program, Boeing. Yesterday, Boeing shares hit their highest levels since December 31st after the plane maker, Chicago-based plane maker, reported a quarterly jump in profits. Boeing closed up 4% yesterday at $145 a share. Mondelez International, Deerfield-based, 3.6%, added 3.6% to its shares. Quarterly profit beat estimates, and it raised its profit forecast for the coming year.